Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.
Adrian Moore of Moore and Hurleys, also a member of Come On Racing. How are things with you? How are things in Westmeath today?
Oh, good, Dello. Yeah, sure. Working away as usual.
Good man. You're in the office today, though. You're counting it and seeing how much you're owed, are you?
I'm actually robbing an office. I'm robbing my daughter's office. There's two ladies in the house working from home, and I'm usually down in the shed down the back. So I'm robbing an office. I had to vacate the daughter here from her office for an hour or so.
Adrian, what's the most common size adult hurley order now? Like, are we back still at 31, 32, 33s?
32 is, yeah, massive, yeah. And then you'd be down to 31, yeah.
Down to 31, jeepers, yeah.
Do you refer to 25?
I haven't made it 36 probably in 2 years. 35 definitely would have dropped 50% in the last 2 years as well.
Jeepers, okay.
Mad, isn't it?
And then
Aaron Ganan and he's likes. But I suppose if he is about to be confirmed hurler of the year, which we suspect tonight, there's a fair old vindication for using a 31 or a 32.
Yeah, there has to be merit there somewhere.
There has to be.
And come here, coaching teams, obviously, you've coached a lot of teams. Would you be an advocate now of that, being a hurley maker and a coach, manager? Would you say to lads, that's too big for you?
The problem you have in the hurley making shop here is that you have an 8 and 9 year old coming in and they really need a 27 or a 26 inch hurdle and they want a 32 inch hurdle.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it goes from one extreme to the other. You know, the adults are cutting down in short. Yeah, I do believe it's, you know, to a certain degree, but seeing a guy who's 6'2" or 6'3" playing on the 31 inch hurdle, there's something aesthetically that just doesn't look good about it. But I think it was a Cork expression a few years ago where The Rock said that he had the hurdle in his hand. He says that this is your weapon and your arm is your shield. And, you know, so definitely I think it tidies up a lot of hurlers. That, you know, their strike is tidier. You definitely, I think, have a longer strike with a 32-inch hurl compared to a 35-inch hurl.
Yeah, I tell you, one, it's gas. I dealt sports up there for 16 seasons, and the young lads have come in with the dad, and Delos here himself now. He'll measure you for the hurley now, and you knew well the young fella wanted to come up to 30 from a 28, and you measured him, and the 28 was the right one, but you could see in his eyes he wanted the 30. So I think he's nearly ready for the 30, you know, and the young lad, he'd light up, like, you know, so.
He'd grow 2 inches to justify it.
Correct, he's on his tippy toes here, like, and he's stretching up. And yeah. Adrian, you never got as much publicity in your whole lives, Longford senior hurling manager. It's unbelievable the publicity you're getting at the moment. Like, not the reasons you'd want. Obviously, a proposal in from the CCC that yourselves and Fermanagh, Louth and Cavan and Leitrim would not be allowed to play National League until, I think, you'd have 5 adult teams for 3 seasons. By Jesus, that seems like a fair ask, doesn't it? You might flesh it out a bit more. I've seen it on other shows. Obviously, there's talk of packages to help with coaching, to raise the amount of players and teams as a result. They're talking about, I think, everyone. I don't think I've seen a positive comment about it, Adrian, from hurling guys that have 9 Ireland medals down to no Ireland medals. And they just... all the top players, pundits, everything seem to think this is folly, that lads put so much into it. They want to play. You had the Longford boys down with me. Fergie O'Loughlin, manager of Doon this year, would have taken you for a training session over an hour pitch on the night before. Trained really hard, came out to me. Let him have a few, did a recovery session first in the pool in the West County. Came out to me, let him have a few pints pre-season and trained again the following morning before you went back. I mean, doing the stuff that I would have been doing with the Dubs and we were hoping to win a Liam McCarthy, you know. So from my point of view, what I saw was professionalism and things we've done 100% correctly. And then to get a kick in the face like this, must be hard to take. Will you flesh it out a bit more for us, the exact way it was broached, and you know, the kind of way it came on you?
Yeah, I suppose, look, reality is that it's a discussion document, right? The only positive that I can see from it is that now it's out in the open that there is huge issues in these counties, okay? So to address the issues, I suppose, this year and for the last few years in Longford, there's three senior hurling clubs, okay? So when you say that out loud, people automatically assume that, right, there's probably three or four intermediates and a couple of junior clubs as well. Not the case. So you have Longford Slashers, you have Wolf Tones, and you have Clongish, three adult hurling teams in Longford. So their championship this year basically consisted of one of those clubs failed to field in the first round due to lack of numbers. So the second and third round went ahead, and then the top two played in the county final. So that's their championship. Aside from that, they play in a league called the Cucullin League, which is, you know, it's a league, but there's evenings that the games just don't go ahead. With only the three senior clubs in Longford, most of the hurling clubs are made up of, you know, maybe three or four football clubs coming in with guys trying to play hurling from other clubs. So they can be very dependent on that, dependent on fixtures. They have set aside, we'll say, Wednesday evening for this Cucullin League. But if there's a match in Leitrim, a football match in Leitrim, Longford, or the other counties that are involved, and it doesn't go ahead, it could be refixed by the two clubs to an agreement that it could be on Wednesday evening. So straight away, one of those hurling clubs could be a massive bother to field. So I suppose that's to give you the outlook on the adult section.
Sorry, Adrian, can I just ask you a few questions just there? Yep. Is there other club? So there's three senior clubs, but is there an intermediate championship and a junior championship in the county?
No.
So you've only three senior hurling clubs in all of the county, and there's no other
Correct.
Grades?
Correct. And there's only two in Leitrim.
Two in Leitrim. Jesus.
Yeah.
And Adrian, on that, like, obviously all this has come up and we're reading about it and listening to it. And like, is there just a decline? Like, in fairness, I suppose Leitrim had five down to two. This is what I'm told now, of course. Louth had eight down to three. Is it diminishing to the point where there might be no hurling?
Yeah, well, and that's the positive. The only positive spin that I can, as I said from the outset, that I can see from this is the can of worms has been opened now to the public, and it really, really has to be addressed. Because so if they were to go with the current format, and let's say this proposal document did pass and did come in, which I really don't think it will. I think that there's been that much of an outcry from the general public that it can't happen. So, but let's say it was to happen. Presently in Longford, you have Longford Slashers, you have Wolf Tones, and you have Clongish, which are three adult clubs. Over the past 3 years, another club has tried to get up and going, and they're a club called Keena. So they're up now to under 11, right? During the summer, another club has started called Drumard, and they have about 35 to 40 kids out there on a Friday evening. They're only up and going maybe 8, 10, 12 weeks, right? So if we were to wait for the proposal document now as is, you have to have fielded in championship for three consecutive years with five adult teams. So we'd have to wait 15 years for those young guys and those two new clubs to play adult hurling to get an inter-county team back in Longford.
And Adrian, is there other underage teams, like let's say at under 14, let's say our Fela up to under 15, is there like where the youngsters play hurling?
Just in the three adult clubs that I've mentioned, just Longford Slashers, Wolf Tones and Clongish. But even there are issues where two of those clubs came together last year to play in under 13, under 15 championship to play against the other club in a county final, basically.
Crikey. That's dark, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And that's why the positive that I'm trying to put on the spin of it, like we all like to try and put some positive, is this is awareness now. This is a problem.
Yeah, and on that, Adrian, like, but let's say, right, okay, you, and we'll come back to the overall problem, but just on the immediate term, like, for the bunch of guys you were involved with directly and the interest they have and the love they have and the pride they have of putting on a long for jersey, and to be told, going away, lads, you're not allowed playing in the National League. It just must be a complete kick in the teeth. Like,
it's, well, sure,
reducing the season from kind of 6 months to 3 months. Is that what they're saying to them?
Yeah, like during the summer, I put together with seven of the lads that were on last year's panel, just a panel of players to try and regroup and, you know, get a stronger panel in this year, because we struggled for numbers last year in the county panel. The previous year, we got to the Lowry Matter final and we had 23 guys togged out for the final. Out of the starting 15, we lost 8 due to a couple of lads emigrating, 2 lads retired, and we lost 2 permit players who moved away from Longford working back in their home counties. So it really left us under savage pressure in 2023 compared to what we were down with Jude Elo, I would say, the previous January. And like last year, I had a list of 47 players on the county panel that was contacted. We ended up with 24 togged out in our semi-final against Monaghan, basically in the last round of the championship.
Okay. And the players in general, Adrian, have they been together? Have they been in contact? I know they're on the GPA, possibly. Have they been in contact with the Fermanagh lads, the Cavan lads, the Leitrim lads, like, as a group of players? And, you know,
yeah. So, what has happened there is the GPA reps have set up a kind of a focus group, for the want of a better word, to deal with each camp individually and then relay all the messages back in. So each GPA rep from each county have been working together. I know our lads, there was a meeting last Friday night, and there was 24 players that met in the gym in Longford, and they had a good discussion on it. But reality is, look, it's very simple. For anything to progress over the next, whether it's 5, 10, 15 years, you need your flagship team. You need the guy in, the child in Longford wanting to be the Keane Lynch. You need the guy in Cork wanting to be the Patrick Horgan. Do you know what I mean? We need the guy in Westmeath wanting to be Tommy Doyle or Killian Doyle. Your flagship team is so important. And, you know, when you talk about inclusivity and everything else that goes with it, where does it stop? Where does it start?
100%. And look, I love the way you're kind of looking on it as the can of worms being opened. And I saw Martin Fogarty on another podcast, and, like, you know, he mentioned the game dying even. And he mentioned how he, you know, and interestingly, before Martin took up the job, I had a chat with a senior official in Croke Park about maybe the possibility of myself getting involved. It wasn't a job interview or anything like that now, but I just said, like, what are you looking for here? You know, I will say now, I did say this straight, I was a one-on-one. I won't be my word. Obviously, I'm not going, this isn't a big spiel about anything, but I said, is it another Paddy Butler you want? Because for me, Paddy Butler was like John the Baptist. My God, what a fantastic man. Just one year, we wound up going to Mayo on a training camp, and he was checking into the hotel, and I got him two training sessions with the Dubs on the ball wall. And what a treat. Like, the boys thought I'd organised him to go, but he was just checking in to do a week's coaching in Mayo, and we got him for two sessions, and the boys thought I'd just laid on, and I didn't make him much more aware than that. And then I said, like, I don't think that can work, lads. Going around doing a session, coming back to that club or county 6 months later or whatever. And, like, this is massive. Hurling needs to be growing here. And I felt that it needed a whole team of people going at this. And I was kind of maybe suggested to me that it was going to be the same thing again. And Martin took it on. And again, very like Paddy, what a hurling man. What a bloke. You'd list him all night. Like, you know, again, very, very similar to Paddy, a brilliant guy, another John the Baptist. But again, as Martin, I think, said it straight out, like, he was trying to concentrate on certain areas, and, you know, it needs more than one guy, Adrian, at this, if we're going to try and spread the game.
Yeah, and the other side of it is, you know, I don't think throwing money at it is the answer either. And while the document has been made public, and Longford circulated that as soon as they got it, so we're all fairly aware very quickly of what the document was and what it was about. But there's actually no plan in place to say, well, we're taking this away, but we're giving A, B and C over the next 5 years. Like, Lancashire and Warwickshire would have been playing in the same league the five teams, and basically, you know, the same as the Joe McDonald Les Jam, yo-yoing up and down, Fermanagh allowed, you know. So while each weekend that we would have played in the league and championship over the last 2 years when I was involved with Longford, each end there's an average 15,000 spent on a team travelling to England and a team travelling home from England, or two teams travelling over. So it's 30,000 every weekend. So you base that over your league, which is five rounds, that's 150,000. Based over your championship, it's 300,000 in total. But now what's after happening is Warwickshire and Lancashire have been moved up the division. So there's more teams now in that division, which creates more games, and it's actually creating more spend.
Yeah.
Like, I suppose, Dale, to go back to what you said there, there's nearly a pyramid effect required here, where nearly has a head, then it's, let's say, somebody in Leinster, and then somebody in every single county. And you know, you need to go back into schools, like I was going to say, primary schools in the county, get hurling going there. And then the other thing it needs is a profile. And this is back to, like, even, I don't mean to be slagging you here, no, Dale, but the whole RTE thing, what's going on there at the moment, right, is that could have a knock-on effect in terms of the promotion of hurling, right? So back to your GAA TV, where basically you have the likes of Longford on GAA TV at some point, where at least that the youngsters can see, at least if I progress here, that at some stage the rest of the country will see me on TV. I mean, and like that's basically the promotion that's required, because other than that, what else can you do? Like, how can you go in today and incentivize somebody in a corner of Longford that hasn't hurled before, a group of people or a school, to say, lads, like, if we get all this together, if we build and keep the club going, you'll go and you'll hurl for Longford, and you know what, maybe you will be in the final, and that final will be on, let's say, the TV channel, which is the GAA TV channel. It's got to be something like that, because otherwise how are you going to do it?
And on that, TJ, like, we were in the Lowry Matter final in 2022. In total, like, you obviously have the three, four games on that day. It was probably, while our game was going on, probably 400 or 500 people at the game, okay? So back in July this year, we all paid our 95 or 90 euro for an All-Ireland hurling ticket to go up to see one game. So, like, would have been ideal to put the Joe McDonagh on before that one, the Rackard and Ring finals on before the two All-Ireland semi-finals, the Lowry Matter final on before the Leinster final. I think, like, you know, things like that is what these weaker counties needs for the county team, for your flagship team. But on the ground, it definitely needs an awful lot of work. Like, there's GPO, Kieran McAuke is his name, he's working away in Longford. But I know in Leitrim, they're sharing a hurling GPO with Sligo. So to make it
that's
work,
a lot of ground,
and you know, even is schools the answer? I don't know. I have been in schools myself, and you know, there's just zero interest in some schools for hurling because they're so far away. They could be 20-25 mile away from a hurling club. So are we better off casting the net smaller first and working within the football clubs that are actually within the hurling catchment area and trying to broaden it from that side?
Is there any secondary school hurling, Adrian? I was going to ask you, like, in terms of a...
Yeah, there's one.
I know.
It'd be St. Mel's.
Is there any combined team? Is there any combined team of, you know...
It's not allowed. It's not allowed. No.
Why would it be not allowed?
It's GA, isn't it?
Weren't the Offaly schools in the Leinster A last year? Dublin School certainly won a...
Yeah, I've asked the question about it. Leinster. And I know last year that we had in Longford, there was two schools involved because one of the county hurlers was involved in the second school. But this year they were struggling to get that team in because there was nobody to look after them, you know?
Okay.
And unfortunately, that's the way it is. It's hands on the ground. You know, our feet on the ground, like it's there's a lot of work, an awful lot of work to be done to keep this going.
Yeah, I know you said money mightn't be the solution, but it'd certainly be a help, wouldn't it? Like,
Absolutely.
Buying hurleys and helmets alone and getting things started. Like, we've seen how much has been invested in the Cusack Stand if it needs it. 15 million, is it?
Yeah,
like, for new seats. As
a friend of mine once says, money isn't everything, but a do till you got everything. You know, if one won't happen without the other, but just throwing out that the money is going to be reinvested in these counties is a kind of a very, very broad statement, you know.
Will it ever be seen to purchase a Schlitter?
Well, I hope so, because I'm selling them, Delo. So,
yeah, we got it. Lads, he's also on Schlitters now, lads, isn't he?
Yeah, we've a fully licensed Schlitter there for you now, Delo. And as many as you want, when you take over the club team.
It's tough, and we let all our listeners know that Adrian is mine, fully licensed, fully approved Schlitter now for all grades as well. Yeah, Marco.
Yeah, Adrian, just like, what are the oppositions? I'm in a state of shock now here, right, listening to this, right, that there is no junior hurling championship or no intermediate championship in Longford. That's the first thing. I just can't understand that. I'm thinking to myself, what are the blockers that are causing this? How many, have you a junior and intermediate and senior championship in football in the county?
Yeah. Oh, there would be, yeah, there's... I think it's 22 or 3 football clubs in the county, so they'd be the whole way down to junior, yeah.
Right. So, like, I just can't understand, like, if I roll back 10 or 15 years ago, how many hurling clubs were in Longford at that time? Like, is it the way that has football taken over and hurling been allowed to die in the county?
3 to 5, I think it would be the fair number to say. It's like Longford Slashers didn't compete for a good few years there as well, where at senior level, where they just lacked the numbers. And Longford Slashers is the Longford town team, which is the biggest town in County Longford. Like, so, yeah, and they struggled. They hadn't an adult team for a few years as well, because some of the guys had gone to play with other clubs at that stage.
Yeah, like one of the major successes that we had in Cork down through the years is obviously we have divisional teams. Like, there are 7 or 8 divisional teams in the county, the likes of the Imakillies, Avondhu's, the Cabarys. And I mentioned those 3 because they have won senior hurling championships in the county. And like, there are other divisions as well, like the likes of Muskerry and Shandoon. So, like, has that ever been, you know, considered? Because that could get you up to 5 senior teams in a short period of time, that you could have junior and intermediate clubs or players coming together from an area, from South Longford or North Longford or East or West, or, you know, to come together to make a senior team for you.
Just
yeah,
there isn't enough players.
Yeah.
If there are 23 football clubs in the county, how those football clubs aren't coming together, like that 3 of them wouldn't come together, or 4 of them wouldn't come together to create a hurling team. Like, you have it in Bally A in Clare, where there's an awful lot of football clubs that their lads are playing with Bally A in senior hurling. And it's not one area, which I learned on the podcast. It's from, like, lads that are 16 to 20 miles away from any one spot.
Yeah, but Mark, what's very worrying, what Adrian said there, is like, even with the 3 clubs, he was saying it's under 13, that the 2 of the clubs had to join together to take on the other club. Like, that's extremely worrying.
It's only a matter of time before the senior club will be defunct. That's the reality there, unless you go back down to the grassroots and get Holland going.
Yeah, I think, Marco, I'd agree with you there, because if it continues to go the way it is now, it won't take a document to get rid of your county team. You know, but at underage, like, I'm a Westmead, obviously, and we have 14 hurling clubs. And by times, you know, it's a struggle here too to get coaches and get people on the ground. And I think that's, you know, overall, there is issues with hurling all over the country. And you look at Wexford, who almost dropped, and, you know, it was Westmead's kind of, they paid the price for that not happening, but and they relegated themselves. But all over Ireland, I think, you know, there's a lot of clubs at grassroots level struggling for coaching. And, you know, this format was brought out where you had all your different levels of coaching, and I've done them all. But sometimes that piece of paper can put people off getting them. They don't want to go through exams, or they think that it's testing. Like, some of the best men I've ever worked with weren't hurlers at all. They're just men that are hungry for the game, have a knowledge, have a different attribute to bring to coaching. And, you know, are we better off going back to workshops with coaches rather than documentation to say that you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to take into the county team, you're allowed to take, you know. So overall, I think it has to be looked at. But the underage, you know, I think for every 3 or 4 training sessions, you should be trying to play a game. And while we travelled to Warwickshire last year, on the way home on the plane, I sat with one of the Longford players who was the same age as my own son. he was just gone 18, hitting 19. And that year, apart from the county team, a couple of games that we got with us, he had played five, he was going to be playing basically five adult matches, right? And he was gone with a minor. There was no under 20 competition. And on the other hand, my son, Jason, would have played roughly 19 matches in the same year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you bring that to Limerick or Cork, that would even go another six or seven matches for that 19-year-old player. Hmm. So, like, we play the game, we play hurling to play games, not to for training sessions, you know what I mean? And while the best is done with the likes of Longford would come up and play in the Westmead League here at underage level. But there's such an influx of fixtures, we'll say, with football in Longford and hurling and football in Westmead. If there's football matches on in Longford, that team just can't travel to Westmead because they won't have a team.
There's a lot of work to be done, Adrian. And I just think, lads, you know, Jared Burns is coming into play now. He obviously will be a football man, but I had the privilege of being with him at a fundraiser in Galway lately. And he said, you know, that one of his priorities was to look at hurling. And I hope Jared is, you know, and I know the president sometimes can be a bit of a, it's a role that's, you know, there's a certain amount you come and go and the permanent people in Croke. I just think it's time now we really, look, it likes of Adrian and his equals and all those people need to be spoken to, need to find out the problems and start working. As you said, Mark, it'll have to be from the bottom up. I think Liam Sheedy wrote a very interesting article about the whole thing in the Examiner week or two ago. We said there is a disconnect like between Croke Park and you know, me great pal Johnny Kellen often says we'd be better off with a hurling association than a football association and let us do it our own way. Give us Turles. But look.
Yeah, and I suppose the other side, as like there's county boards, you know, and people are expecting, you know, inter-county managers like all of us have been or whatever, you know, to do a lot of work. You'll work with a team and you'll try and get across the ground as best you can. County boards are the same. Like there's massive support from the county board in Longford since I've gone in, like it's been, you know, do you need this? What do you need? Come to us. We need anything. And that's in, you know, it has been proven. Like we were away last January for a bonding trip. We were down with Delo the previous year for an overnighter. Like I got into an office last January in Longford and Peter Riley, Albert Cooney, and they were doing a deal for the GPS for the footballers and they were asking me that I want them. Like, okay. With no disrespect, we didn't need them. We needed GPSs to find hurlers, not to track them on their back to see what they're doing on a given day at a training session or a game. But like the support from the county board is there, but it's really, really back at club level where the work has to be done and we have to find more people to work on the ground.
Adrian, are you allowed a certain amount of, we'd say, inter-county players from other counties that are surplus to requirements? Is there any stipulation there on that or can you get help?
Yeah, no, we would have some. We have had two guys last year that are working in Longford. We had two permit players last year working in Longford that were Westmead men. And then we had two guys that their fathers, one Dublin guy and one man from my own club here, that their father or mother is a Longford person. So basically it's, I suppose it's like the old grandfather rule, but it has to be father or mother. And then there's actually one of your own, TJ Cahill Milan, who would have played wing forward for Limerick back in.
Yes.
Yeah. Cahill is living up in Wolf Tone's club now, Edgerstown, for the last number of years. And then there's also Gareth David Buckley, who was working in Longford and living in Longford. So look, I suppose you're still out of the 23 or 4 that we had talked about last year, we had 6 or 7 guys that weren't born and came up through the hurling ranks in Longford. But without those guys, you wouldn't be fielding a team.
Yeah. I think, you know, the old adage of culture eats strategy for breakfast applies here to some of these counties, you know. Like there's a culture there where when you don't play hurling, it's going to be hard to change that. Like, and there's a huge, huge plan and collective thinking required. Jeepers, you see, even, you know, I've been involved in even debates, even in our own club, which would be very much hurling. Like, sometimes I mean, there would be comments there about, you know, getting in outside coaches, and maybe there might be certain commercial decisions or whatever, and kind of saying, geez, them Westerns aren't worth this. our problems are very much different to what Adrian has just outlined there. I go back to what I said at the start, maybe looking after hurling. I don't know what solution is there, Dillo. Maybe you can influence the top brass and in a way that might need to be a culture changer.
Yeah, well, I think a new hurling committee, or certainly a new director of hurling is needed anyway, with a different role than both Paddy and Martin. I think that I think GDAs have to get into the schools, Adrian. Have to get into the primary schools and coach the base. Hurling is not easy. It's easy to pick up a football.
Every school will welcome football, all right? Every school will welcome basketball. But there will be some schools that are afraid, for the want of a better word, of the safety aspect of hurls and that, with kids that are not used to playing hurling. And also, you go into a school and you're getting 45 minutes with two classes, and you're going around and you're refitting, because you're bringing in helmets, you're bringing in hurls. So you basically, for a lot of these kids, you're helping them put on a helmet, you're sizing them for a hurl. So straight away, you're losing 10, 12 minutes of that 45 minutes. And then you have to help them take them off. And, there's such a, you go into a school and you could have, we'll say, senior infants, first class and second class. And there you're dealing with a six-year-old to a nine-year-old. And it's a vast, variant in those ages of what one child can do from 6 years of age to 9 years of age. I think, the schools wouldn't be my preference on it. And I kind of, over the last 5 or 6 years, even home in Westmeath, it's a good bonus. But I think it has to be infiltrated through the football clubs. And that's being honest, I really think it has to be infiltrated that way.
Adrian, do Longford field an under 15 hurling team, an under 16 hurling team, an under 17 hurling team in those competitions?
They have under 15 and under 17 last year.
Okay,
but struggling to field, struggling to get numbers out. Now, we're in the course of, over the summer there, trying to get both ends of that going, as in we're trying to get an under 13 development squad up and going, and we're trying to get an under 20 squad up and going. So in the last month, we've started an under 20 hurling championship in Longford. But to give you even a broader idea of what that looks like, so one club had 27 or 28 names on paper, and it was kind of advised that that club might enter two teams just to get more hurling. But actually, on the first round of championship, that club had 16. The second club had 13. And my advice on it was that if we have to play an 11-a-side championship, we'll play it to get more guys hurling at this age.
Yeah.
But instead of playing 13-a-side, the game ended up at 11-a-side. So we had three guys from one team sitting on the sideline, and five from the other. There was two guys sent off, so it ended up being a 10-a-side game. So there's a lot of, a variance that have to be looked at in relation to promoting. Mindset has to change also in clubs, and that's not being disrespectful. We're the same here at home in Westmeath, and I'm sure it's the same in other clubs all over the country. We have to develop a mindset of promoting the game rather than winning the game. We all want to win, but winning sometimes can come at a very costly price.
A lot to be done, Adrian, but I'm no better man to be tackling it anyway. But I think an overall, a resounding no to this proposal documents, Adrian. That's the feeling in all these counties, I presume.
It's a non-runner. That's the way it is. Look, it's the positive, the one positive, and it's the only positive I can see from it, is that thanks to all of you guys there involved in the Irish Examiner, I'm on the show today. But there's an awful lot more guys like me that has the opportunity to come on the show and to speak their mind. But the one positive is that now it's out in the open. These problems are out there. These problems have to be dealt with.
Yeah, and look, I think your idea is great as a kind of a carrot as well. As you said, 400 or 500 people there to watch Laurie Maher final. Having that on before the Munster final, that would be, always worried about tickets, of course. We're always worried about tickets. But there wouldn't be a massive demand, for those players to get out that day, lads, at 2 o'clock in Turles or in Limerick or in Cusick Park, anywhere but Cork, Adrian, really, for the Munster final.
Yeah, well, we probably wouldn't get in because I think they're doing show band stuff and stuff. Marco, you can put me down for Marco. I won't need soft seats. Any tickets at all? Any tickets at all? I don't have to be soft seats.
At least you'll travel from Longford, but the lads from Clare won't travel at all. Like, I mean, and in the Munster final, and they'd prefer to go into the Gaelic grounds rather than go down to Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Have passport willing to travel.
We'll go in again this year for the replay.
You're more than welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, and just to finish up, just one other positive on is that the Longford panel themselves have come up with it. They're all going to do the foundation course, and we have designating guys now to get involved with under 15 and under 13, 15, 17 and 20 squads. The players are, and you know, people can always say that the players are doing nothing. An inter-county hurler or footballer is very, very well eaten up with time as it is. But this is the type of thing that needs to happen, I suppose, to get workers back on the ground. And they're in the process of getting the foundation course done, so they're legally allowed to do a bit of coaching, even though there's some of them already there involved with county squads.
Well, fair play. And thanks for joining us. And fantastic to get the on the ground insight, especially for Mark there, who had the clue what was going on. It's nice for him to learn there about things.
Thank you very much, lads.
Hey, I don't think I'm alone in that one, O'Dillon.
No, look. Obviously, from knowing Adrian, I'd have a better idea. I suppose that's mainly and bits and pieces here and there. And look, it's not easy, but I think Croke Park need to get the finger out. I really mean that. And get heads around the table and get some kind of a plan in place.
Allianz supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.